Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Okay, we're delighted to welcome a new face to Tip TV, somebody making his international debut, as Moose would say. Jeremy Stretch, head of G10 FX Strategy at CIBC. G10 FX Strategy, competitive currency devaluation, is that the main message at the moment?
Well, certainly there's been a huge amount of volatility in the FX market space over the course of not just the last few days, but obviously last few months. We've seen obviously a significant cheapening up of the yen, particularly over the course of the last couple of years. We're now seeing a further move in that sort of direction. The euro, of course, has come down markedly over the course of the last 12 months. But in the shorter term, we've seen this uptick. And of course, that's very much a function of what's going on in bond markets in the very short term. And bond spreads are clearly driving market performance and causing the euro to rally, which may start to cause some concerns for the ECB.
Just for the layperson and myself, why should there be a relationship between bonds, which were supposed to be crashing a few weeks ago, and the euro, which you would expect would crash with it?
Well, of course, it's all to do with spreads. That's really the defining factor. So we're seeing bond markets selling off, so we're seeing yields going up. But the yield advantage that we'd seen previously in terms of US yields over European yields has compressed, and it's compressed very substantially. So investors that had been thinking, well, US interest rates would be going up at some stage through the course of this year, and so we would get or we would anticipate US yields to continue to rise, we're seeing that process really unwinding over the course of the last few days in particular, and very aggressively as well. So we've moved something like 20 basis points in terms of spreads this week. So all of a sudden that yield advantage in the US over the Eurozone is being compromised. And as a consequence, the euro is getting some traction alongside some hopes that we will see some degree of resolution on Greece.
And what do you make of Draghi's comments yesterday? There was some sign. They had this issue about front-loading asset purchases, given that they are the biggest player in the market, and it has become this kind of, you know, they're the only game in town. And he's saying that there's a chance that they're going to step up their bond purchases.
Well, there is that possibility, and I think that of course, you know, the whole QE process has really underlined part of the sort of the market gyrations we've seen in terms of bond yields over the course of the last few months. But whilst we can assume that we're seeing a degree of front loading, at least over the course of the summer period, we are seeing this realization that we've seen and passed the trough in the inflation cycle. Draghi acknowledged that yesterday. The data also underlines that. So unless we were to see the oil price come crashing down again, then I think we've passed the low point in the inflation cycle. And yes, there may well be the prospect, albeit relatively small, of seeing an increased degree of QE or this notion of front loading. But I think it's more a case that we are looking at the dynamics of where the growth and inflation stories are going over the medium term. And that obviously looks a little more encouraging than it certainly did 6 months or so ago.
In terms of inflation stories, we saw some upside inflation in the latest euro numbers. Is that being driven by any kind of fundamentals? Is that simply importing inflation through a weaker euro?
Well, in a sense, you know, the Eurozone wanted to cheapen up the euro. It wanted to boost exports, but also, as you quite rightly say, wanted to import inflation. So we are seeing some evidence of that via the cheaper level of the euro. Of course, the rebound that we've seen in the oil price over the course of the last couple of months is also playing out. But I think there is a case to be made that some of the fundamental influences in terms of stronger consumer demand, or at least a degree of resilience in terms of the underlying macro dynamics, do suggest that we're not just looking at purely imported inflationary pressures. And I think as we see some of those base effects from last year's down moves in CPI starting to drop out of the equations, then that will encourage CPI to continue to move back higher as we go through the course of the year.
In terms of the kind of central bank driven kind of price targeting, obviously you mentioned the Bank of Japan earlier. Are they going to continue to try and drive that yen down and try and do a very similar thing and try and import inflation that way?
I think they will keep the yen very much on the defensive. Whether they can actually necessarily drive it down sufficiently in order to generate another round of impetus to the CPI level, I'm not so convinced. I think they will look at additional policy measures. We've seen one of the Bank of Japan members this morning talking about cutting the interest rate on excess reserves. Now, that's not the same as a negative deposit rate that we've seen in the Eurozone, but in a sense, that's a step in a similar direction. And I think that's a recognition that obviously just adding bond buying on an ongoing basis has a limited ability to really impact policy. So yes, they're trying to keep the yen very much on the cheap side. I think the one caveat, or the two caveats we have to consider, is one, the competitiveness issue. So that's coming back to the currency war argument, that obviously the cheaper the yen gets, then the greater the competitive pressure with Korea and to an extent Germany as well in terms of various spheres. So I think there's a competitiveness issue. And I think the other side of the equation is, of course, without rising wages in Japan, merely importing inflation isn't necessarily going to boost the economy in terms of growth, because of course consumers will find that the benefit that they get in terms of rising wages or any rising wages will be more than offset by the increase in imported prices.
Is there any level on the yen, which, you know, dollar yen, which is sort of the ideal level? Is, I mean, you know, could, or they just keep, they're going to, they should or they could just keep weakening it to 200, or things will just, the weaker it gets, the better things get. Is it as simple as that?
It's not quite as simple as that, but certainly the comments that we've seen over the course of the last week or so. Now, the comments that we had from Finance Minister Aso last Friday when he was standing in Dresden were perhaps for the international audience saying, well, we are monitoring FX rates very closely. Some of the comments that we've seen this week and also from the advisors to the Prime Minister last week were implying, well, if we continue to cheapen up the yen, that's good news for our exports, and that will also mean that some of our key production facilities which have been moved offshore may come back to Japan because it now becomes more economic. Now, that would suggest, well, just allowing an ever cheaper yen will help to alleviate some of the pressures. I think the scenario, though, is going to become much more troublesome if you get towards that sort of 130 area. I think that's, if not a line in the sand, but I think that will be a sort of trigger point where international investors, or at least the international community, may become rather more mindful of actually saying, well, Japan, we've tolerated the cheapening up of the yen from the 80-85 area because that's good news for the global economy to boost Japanese domestic demand. To allow them
After that, it gets a bit more controversial.
To allow them to get a further competitive advantage, I think, becomes much more controversial.
Just quickly, we've just got a few seconds on sterling. Is there any particular, you know, we had the rally after the election. Is there any particular thing that we should watch out for to note at these levels around 154 or something like that?
I think sterling is fascinating. I think markets are still too complacent on where rates are going over the medium term. I think in the short term, we've obviously seen a little bit of an uplift in cable, largely due to dollar weakness. I think if we get towards the sort of 154.5 level, that's probably a level to start fading again, assuming as we do that we get a reasonably solid employment report out of the US tomorrow. So I think that's the sort of dynamic that I think sterling will probably still underperform the dollar over the next 3 months, but I think it will outperform the euro.
Jeremy Stretch, head of G10 FX strategy at CIBC. Thank you very much for coming in
today. Pleasure to be here.
Hopefully we'll see you many times in the future.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. We'll be back after the break.